I have four pieces of paper that I want to have handed out at this time. Now, I think I just brought enough for each husband and wife team. I would appreciate, so that we can make the best use of this, that you not read ahead. But when you get this piece of paper, that you just turn it upside down, and when the time comes, why, I'll tell you, turn it over and tell you which one to select. So I'd appreciate your help in that. And so here is one piece. You should end up with four pieces of paper. One of these is the article of Christianity Today we talked about, the men's discretion of destiny. Now, the minister and his wife, this perhaps isn't very tactful. I do give it out, Mrs. P. I probably should have said that you may have said that. Now, while those are being passed out, this is going to be more discussion time than a lecture time, I trust. I want to read to you a prayer that I cut out of the paper a while back that may express the thoughts of several of us. It's called Prayer for Older People, and says, Lord, thou knowest that I am growing older. Keep me from becoming talkative and possessed with the idea that I must express myself on every subject. Release me from the craving to straighten out everyone's life. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point and then be quiet. Seal my lips when I am inclined to tell of my aches and pains. They are increasing with the years, and my love to speak of them grows sweeter as time goes by. Make me thoughtful but not nosy, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom and experience, it does seem a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Now let's see if we have some of those left over, right? I eat one for myself. Well, then I'll just work with someone else on one. Could we have a further word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we commit this time now in this last meeting together to you, and look expectantly for your direction and blessing, for Christ's glory. Amen. The subject that was in your folder deals with priorities and planning. And so we'll get right to the subject. I think it is interesting to note, over in Ephesians 5, that there are several apparent prerequisites, at least things recorded before we get to Ephesians 5:18, which asks us, which informs us, admonishes us, to be filled with the Spirit. Certain prerequisites before that. One of them is in verse 16, which speaks of redeeming the time. Now, I am of the opinion, and if we were in a discussion group, we could discuss this, but that the greatest resource that we have is time. And there is a sense in which time is our only resource. Occasionally, when I'm asked for counsel about somebody, should, a Christian worker, well, should I buy a new car or should I get the cheapest one I can get, particularly if you're going overseas? And I say, well, I believe the principal purpose of money is to buy time. That's the greatest resource. So maybe if your time is really valuable and you can use it for the Lord, don't hesitate to try to raise the money for a new car. Now, I know there are cross problems in this. Time is our greatest resource. A principal purpose of money is to buy time. so we can use that resource. Now, would you turn over a sheet or two of your paper and come to this one that's called The Strategic Use of Time, Christ's Example. And I don't want you to read the last paragraph, but I'd like for you to read the top paragraph and select out of that, maybe just underline as you go through, two or three sentences that you think are the most outstanding. And then we'll settle on two or three of them. Okay, is everybody ready? The Strategic Use of Christ's Time, just the top paragraph. Go ahead and read it. And underline what you consider are the most outstanding sentences. Okay, are you ready? Now let's just be very spontaneous here. And I'll just point somebody and just say, what was one of the sentences you underlined? So,
okay.
He was never in a hurry. All right, somebody else. What was the sentence you underlined?
He found sufficient time in the 24 hours of the day to do the whole will of God.
Now I expect if we would gather up the papers and look, we'd probably find that that was the one statement that stood out to the most people. Now, do you believe that's true? That there's enough time in every 24-hour period to do the whole, total will of God. If we believe that, we won't be quite so frustrated, will we? Now, what were some other sentences in here or thoughts that you thought were outstanding? Beg your pardon? All right. Okay.
There'd be time for all that God meant him to do.
Interruptions could not disturb his peace.
Knowing that every man's life is a plan of God.
Never giving those who sought his help a sense that he had more important concerns than their particular ambitions.
Yes, I think that's very outstanding, isn't it? All right, now you can keep this sheet. And by the way, if you don't have Oswald Sanders' Spiritual Clinic, it's a little paper bank. I think it's got more valuable information like this tucked in it than any book of similar size I have seen. All right, this is to get our thoughts in gear on the matter of how we use our time. Actually, we're just going to consider three things, and I'll review them for you as we finish. Now, would you take another one of the mimeograph sheets, the one that says a $25,000 secret that can revolutionize your life. And pick out five or six what we would call principles in here. And then we'll discuss them. Try to line these up in order of importance. But what have you selected in here? Whether you agree with them or not, what are the principles behind Mr. Lee's advice? Yes?
Do one thing at a time.
Okay, that we can only do one thing at a time. Now, is that really true? All right. What else do we see in here?
Do it every day.
All right. A daily plan. Okay. What else do you see? Up here first.
Forget the others until you finish the one you work on.
Okay, when you start on one, finish it.
Set priorities.
Establish priorities. So this indicates that some things are more important than others. And I heard somebody say once that proximity and noise should not establish priorities. But it's much easier to concentrate on something just because it's close, or to answer the phone just because it's noisy, isn't it? Okay, what else do we have in here? Well, I think these are the main ones. Now, to break this down a little bit, I know that every one of you uses to a degree this system every day. I expect in the case of many of us, it is more accidental than deliberate. If we will make it deliberate, I think we can accomplish that. Now, I personally like to think of my day as being in three parts. And I'm going to call it, first one, learning to spell. Projects, one area. The second, routine. And the third, unplanned. Now, I think that's a better name than interruptions, although it might mean the same thing. Now, what Mr. Lee was saying, select the projects that are the most important for you to do, not for the vice president, not for somebody else. Now, we're just talking about you and your responsibility. And without which, you will not have the satisfaction of believing that the day has been properly lived. I understand from, it's recorded in the book on the FBI, that one of the requirements of an FBI agent is that they don't punch the clock in and out. But no FBI agent leaves his office until he has written out his plan for tomorrow and leaves it on the desk, then he can go home. And that has to be there so anybody can check up on it. So, projects. Now, what we've done is established priorities, isn't it? As someone suggested. These are the things that must be done. However, the paperwork and the new list is always there, isn't it? We could spend the rest of our lives and never get completely caught up just on the routine things. But no, isn't that true? So, what do we do? Now, I'm going to describe how I think I said this works more accidentally than by design. Pretty early in my day, I know what these projects are, probably before you come to work. Now, these are the things that I've decided are the most important for me to do. And there's not very many people who have veto power over what I think is the most important to do. This is what I'm going to do. As the day wears on, I note that the routine things, however, are taking all my time. The end of the day is going to come, and I will not get these projects completed. So what do I do? I decide that the routine and the unplanned are less important than the projects I have set for myself. So I disappear where that the routine and the unplanned can't take my time. Now, if you have a wedding to perform, or a sermon to prepare, or a funeral to preach, you do the same thing. You decide this is priority one. Now the routine has got to go. The unexpected has got to go. So we're forced into this every day. Right? And it works. When you decide, well, this has become number one priority. Probably that's the preparation of the sermon. Then you do disappear, don't you? You neglect the routine. So I feel in the use of our time, this is where we start. We want some satisfaction out and fulfillment out of believing that our day has been profitable. Now, I think these suggestions don't apply just to the men. That you ladies can spend all your time just in routine things, can't you? You would never have time to write a letter. But there's never time, is there? Or do some of these things because the demands are so strong. Now, when the routine builds up, what do? I make that the project for the day. The number one project is to clear up the routine so I get off my mind. Then I feel that I'm working on the most priority item. Hebrews warns us that we can get so regimented that we mistake an angel that God sent him. So I feel that we don't program our time to where there's no space in it. Then when the unplanned comes up, immediately that becomes high priority. That becomes a project. But, as I said, as the day wears on, if this is dominating the day, we need to rethink and maybe just get in a place where that the unplanned can't dominate the time. Now, I think there are three areas of our lives in which such an approach is appropriate. The first one, of course, is our personal life. Now, what are my projects for my personal life? The second area, what are the projects for my family life? And thirdly, what are the projects for my ministry? Well, we've just thrown out some ideas here. Now, let's have some discussion. I believe that more people that I know who come to the end of the day whipped are more whipped psychologically than they are physically or mentally. And that's because they feel that the day has been spent in low-priority projects. They've worked hard. They've accomplished a lot. But psychologically, it's been a poor day. And that can get us down physically and mentally. Feel that we're working on low-priority projects all the time, can't it? Well, I think this discussion is what's behind the $25,000 secret. Any comments or questions or discussion? Just in case that during these 3 days we did decide that we wanted to do something that we hadn't been doing before, doesn't mean that there will be any more time available to do it when we get back than was when we left, does it? If we're going to do anything differently, something has got to be rearranged. Now, I sense in this conference, as in others that I've been in, that when the idea comes up of spending more time training some faithful men to lift the load, that immediately, well, it's a great idea. I'd like to do it, but I don't have the time. That's one of the reasons that we place this session toward the end. Now, see if it can't be some suggestions to how that time can become available. J.C. Penney's definition of leadership is, leadership is accomplishing your objectives through the efforts of others, utilizing the efforts of others. And we never really begin to extend ourselves until we have a team to help us carry out our objectives. Now, building a team that will help us carry out our objectives is a hard thing to do, a challenging thing to do. But if it's enough of a priority, it can be done. And then our ministry can be multiplied as we're able to accomplish our objectives utilizing the efforts of others. Now, because the time is moving on, and there is one other thing we want to discover, then we can want to discuss, and then have a wrap-up. I'd like for you to look at this next sheet now, the purple one, purple ink, call the manager's span of control. And read it all the way through, but read the first part carefully and the second part that says group relationships very rapidly. Two or three background illustrations to this, if you haven't completed it, well, that's all right, because the most important thing is in the beginning. I read about a man once who tried to teach a crow to count. And he got him up to 2, no problem. Then it was quite a bit of an effort to get him up to three. But he finally got one, two, three. And every time he would flash the problem that required him to count to four, the crow would go in a tailspin and pass out. His mind had a limited capacity to expand. A few years ago, our telephone company ran out of pronounceable prefixes. And so you know what they did. All digit. Now, I'd be interested to know how much this cost has cost the telephone company. Because there is no great effort required to memorize a pronounceable prefix and six digits. Now, actually, if you have a pronounceable prefix, there's digits on there, too. If your prefix used to be, ours used to be Melrose, M-E. Well, now it's 6-3. But that's quite an effort. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that the human brain seems to be not capable of maintaining more than five or six separate things at once. You get beyond the figure five or six, and we're like the crow. We don't even attempt it. It just can't be done. And if you remember your new digit prefix, it's probably because you associate with the pronounceable prefix that you used to have. This is not a matter of IQ. As the illustration brings out, a corporal with seven people reporting to him, or a general with seven divisions, might be quite a difference of EQ, of IQ, but the general will be just as frustrated as a corporal, because he cannot retain seven different things in his mind. His brain isn't built like that, no more than the corporal can. In any organization which is inefficient, the first place that efficiency experts look is at the so-called span of control, where that one person has too many people checking in with him personally, there's always a deterioration of efficiency. This happens for two reasons. First of all, the people can't get to the number one man to find what he's thinking is. So they either make no decision or they make a bad decision. Well, that's really the heart of it. They can't get to him. If they make no decision, there's a deterioration. If they make the wrong decision, there's a deterioration also. The reason is given here why that a too large span of control is impossible in human relationships. Now, I didn't have the time. I knew I wouldn't have the time, or I'd like to brought with you Parkinson's book. You know, Parkinson has come up with two laws. The first is called his financial law, and that is that expenses rise to meet income. And his second law is that work expands to fill time available. And in explaining how work expands to fill time available, he discusses cross relationships. If you saw in the illustration here at the bottom of the first page, if A supervises two persons, B and C, he can deal with them individually or as a pair. The behavior of B in the presence of C and of C in the presence of B will differ from their behavior when each is with A alone. Furthermore, what B thinks of C and what C thinks of B constitute two cross relationships which A must keep in mind when delegating work and so forth. So where you're only responsible for two people, there are six cross relationships. If you're checking in, as we see over in the final illustration here, seventh subordinates, the cross relations are ships between 450 and 500. And you wonder why you're so tired at the end of the day. I heard about a school teacher once who had just finished an impossible week. You know, it was one of those weeks. Finally, she had the last student, their winter clothing wrapped up, ready to go home, Friday afternoon. And just when the last one was ready, the secretary came in and put an envelope on her desk. And the pupil, the one she was getting wrapped up, said, "What's that?" And she said, "That's my paycheck." And he says, "Paycheck? Do you work somewhere?" I think that a school teacher with 20 or 30 students is the prime illustration of this cross relationship. 30 people in a room, every one of them different needs, every one of them a different relationship to another. It is an impossible situation, isn't it, Gene, as a former teacher? You are involved with a lot of people. And the cross relationships are so multitudinous that a computer couldn't even add up what they are. Now, in a spiritual relationship and counseling, this is probably a livable situation. But in organization, it isn't livable. It wasn't for Moses, and it won't be for you. Leadership is accomplishing our objectives through the efforts of others. But there is a limit by span of attention and span of control as to the number of people that can report to you directly and still maintain an efficient, effective organization. Now, we'll have a little time to discuss this. I'd like to review two sentences. The first one is the third paragraph on the front page. Organizations are run by rule then, a rule whereby from 3 to 6 hands are shepherded by one head, each head in turn being member of a superior group of from 3 to 6 who are being wheeled into line one by one. And then the last sentence on the second page, no superior can supervise directly the work of more than 5 or at the most 6 subordinates whose work interlocks. Now, we could diagram this on the board, but I don't think we will. I've tried to just throw out 3 ideas for your further consideration and discussion. The first is there's adequate time in 24 hours for each one of us to do all that God expects us to do. That's number one. Idea number two is some things are higher in priority than others. We will only have the satisfaction of a day well spent when we try to find out what God's priorities are and find a way of accomplishing them. The third idea is you do not have the capability of dealing directly with an unlimited number of people. You've got to bunch your work under people on your team and accomplish your objectives through them if your objectives and influence are to continue to expand. Now, those are the 3 ideas. So, what are your thoughts and questions? You believe that God has made available the necessary time for you to accomplish the things that are on His priority list for you. You believe that? Well, if you do believe that, is this your experience, that they are being accomplished? Bill?
I just want to give a word of testimony that I heard you discuss this group once before, several years ago. I've been using one of the things that's come out of it has been I've learned that I've seen myself forced to get the routine done faster and yet more efficiently somehow. I don't know how it's done sometimes, but actually I found that my sermon preparation is being done in shorter time, and yet I'm not conscious that it's being done any less effective.
Good.
Yes.
Did somebody say sermon preparation is routine?
No, I concluded that in the statement.
Oh.
This is a routine responsibility.
The Sunday sermon preparation is routine.
There comes a time toward the end of the week that it becomes a priority project, doesn't it? Say Saturday night about 12 o'clock. Well, unfortunately, sermon preparation is only one of the many, many tasks that you're called on to do. Wouldn't it be great if that was the main thing that you had to do and could give the time to it? I just use that as an illustration. Is there any other comment or question? Yes.
I noticed on personal priorities and family priorities, at least in a while, can be harmonious. The individual, like in our family, can accomplish a lot better individually, probably encouraged by that.
By personal responsibility, what I have in the back of my mind is that the highest priority in my life should be my relationship to God. That's number one. So I better have that, find out what project is necessary. Now, very closely related, but perhaps a little bit separate, is my relationship to my family. I think these are all equal areas, and we may have to do individual work in all three. But you're right, they're very interlocking. Okay, is there any other comment or question from this side of the room over here? We've got all the extrovertish types over here. Well, these are just some ideas to throw out. I think that it's helpful to me to realize that the President of the United States doesn't have any more time than I do. If he gets more done, he's learned how to make better use of resources. And that's mostly through utilizing the efforts of other people, isn't it? If we were going to take two or three sessions on this, of course, we would go through the Bible and see how David had his kingdom set up, how Solomon had his set up. And the most elaborate organization you will ever find in any book is the organization for the setting up and the moving of the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was really an elaborate plan, so every man knew when he was to pick up his pole and when he was to move, and they apparently did that very efficiently. And the very things we've talked about in the span of control are illustrated in it's Deuteronomy 11, isn't it, where that Moses was overworked and then he picked out some men. And Moses, I think, was afraid of what we're afraid of, that I can't delegate. And God said, I'll take the responsibility of taking some of the honor that I've put on you, and I'll put on them. So we're afraid to delegate, aren't we? That's our final responsibility. It just could be that God might take some of the responsibility that he's placed on you and divide it up among other people. Then he'll hold them accountable instead of you for getting it done. Well, thank you very much for the time that I've had with you. It's been a great privilege, and I've enjoyed it.